let's talk about, well, first let's do a song. Is there one you'd like me to join in on, or is there something that is appropriate? Is there, you want me to request one, or how do we want to do this?
Yes, I'd like to just sing a shortened version of the Cedar Tree Song, because so many people are cutting down all of our trees without even really thinking about what's going to happen without those trees.
So instead of three repetitions, there'll be one.
Yeah, one of each.
Sing, dance, and pray.
Yes.
Okay.
Sing, dance, and heal.
Sing, dance, and heal. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, cedar trees, clap your hands and sing with me. Hey-ah-ee, hey-ah-ee, hey-ah-ee-ah-ee-ah-ee. Hey-ah-ee, hey-ah-ee, hey-ah-ee. Oh, cedar trees, clap your hands and dance with me. Hey-ah-ee, hey-ah-ee, hey-ah-ee-ah-ee-ah-ee. Hey-ah-ee, hey-ah-ee, hey-ah-ee. Oh, cedar trees, clap your hands and heal me. Hey-ah-ee, hey-ah-ee, hey-ah-ee-ah-ee-ah-ee. Hey-ah-ee, hey-ah-ee, hey-ah-ee. Oh, 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 I just like to give thanks in this way for the cedar trees, because the trees are people. Like the rocks are people, like everything is people, and we have to take care of all people on this planet in a good way. I give thanks for our cedar trees. Oh!
Beautiful. One of my daughter's favorites, by the way.
Mm.
And speaking of my daughter, it was, you know, she's about a little over seven years old now, and when she was born, I thought to myself, well, the line that my father used, do as I say, not as I do, just wasn't going to work. It just wasn't going to work. God bless him. He meant well. And it wasn't going to work for me and my daughter. So that really accelerated the process of my own individuation, my own searching for the truth and for really a better way of living. And in the first part of the interview today, you were talking about how that was the catalyst for your own growth. When you had a son, what was it like? What did you think? You didn't want him to be like you the way you were? Is that accurate?
I wanted him to see more of our spiritual way of life. I wanted him to see that. It wasn't not being like me. It was just seeing. I wanted to guide him to see more of our spiritual way, not just my image of, you know, being, I guess, a gangster in a sense, and everything. I wanted him to see the spiritual way, and I wanted to bring him there. The only way that you can bring somebody into something that you want, you have to live it yourself. This is what I feel inside of me, and so I live this, and so my son has seen this.
So tell us about the preparation. I mean, there was your cousin Johnny Moses is an amazing storyteller, shaman.
Yes.
And I'm guessing that he was part of that.
Yes, he was. In 1980, we met each other again. We met each other periodically throughout all of this life, but we really met each other. I went to go talk with him, and I came to what they called circles, the Red Cedar Circle. And I was there with him, and he told me just to be, you know, be there and to help him. So I helped in any way that I could. And And I watched all these people that were studying under him. I thought they were very strange. They would do everything that he did. And even if he sneezed, they would sneeze too. You know, they were just being good students, but it was very funny to me. And he'd scratch.
Are these mostly white people, are we saying?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and it was funny, you know, but they were being respectful. And so I thought, okay, and so I was there with him. And then I got into strict teachings with him and dedicated myself with a vow. With him, I took a vow for 7 years, and it was a closed vow, which meant that I couldn't speak about it when I was in that. And that was very intense training. We traveled everywhere together, and I did. That's all that I did, and that took the 7 years. That was from like 80 until 87, and I was really involved and strong, and nobody knew where I was. It was like I disappeared, I guess, and everything, because I was really working on this and just being, that was my life.
Now, I get a sense of other traditions and their sorts of retreats, whether, you know, the Buddhists who might go out and chant somewhere or other traditions where you have that kind of thing. I don't immediately have a mental picture as to what you were doing. Are you at liberty to talk about the 7 years and the kind of daily routine or discipline that was part of it?
Yes, I can talk a little bit, not a whole lot, but I'll share what I can. You learned about the different teachings of the four directions, the north, the east, the west, and the south. We lived in that way. We created our altars. We even wore our altars in a way, in our wearing of our traditional ceremonial outfits. Some people, I guess they call it nowadays, they say garb. For a long time, I didn't know what these people talking about? Nice garb you have. But I got it now. I understand a little bit.
And these are the people who were sneezing after Johnny sneezed. Who were
yes, they said different things. And now,
did he do stuff like just to see if they do it, like maybe pick his nose or scratch himself in a place just to see if they would go along?
No, he'd never do that, but it just worked out because he was always sneezing or blowing his nose because of a lot of clearing of energy, you know, that he got from all these people, and it was going through his body at that time, and he had to get rid of it. And that was one of the ways. We learned a lot of things from about the earth and lived inside of it, touched it, you know, and the spirit, you know, like with our ancestors. That's why it took that long. And in this 7-year vow, I can tell you that whatever my cousin wanted me to do, I would do, because that was the vow. That was part of it. And the other part was really practicing. I became what they called the whip man inside of our circle. And what that means is that if you get out of line, I'd talk to you. Or you could come and ask me, would you talk to me if I get out of line? And there were some people like this, and I don't know when I'm out of line. Some people would come to our circle, they don't know the traditions, so they don't know when they're out of line. So I got real good at this, but some people thought I didn't like them. And they thought, because I was always after them, and I'd always be poking at them, tell them, no, go over here, what's wrong with you? You know, pick that up, what's wrong with you? You don't step over that. You know, what the heck is wrong with you? Or else I'd slap them with a stick or something. And then they would look at me and they think that I didn't like them. But they didn't remember that they asked me a year ago to keep on doing this, and they never called me off of them. And see, this is the way that Native people work. If you ask us for something, we're going to keep on until you say, please stop.
So, in other words, if you don't see the last part of the parenthesis, you know, it's still part of that quote. So it keeps going. Remind me not to make a note of this, not to ask you for that, especially with that big stick you have. That could be trouble. Want to stay away from that. You learned about Sisiwis. You learned about your traditions. You learned that this is not the first world that we're living in. These are some of the things that you talk about in your sacred circles. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yes, Sisiwis is the medicine that we practice here in the Northwest. It comes from the first world teaching. They say that some people say this is the fourth world. Some people say it's the fifth world. But this teachings come from the first world teaching, Sisiwis. And the translation in English, Sisiwis, is the sacred breath teachings of the breath and the sacred ocean and the sacred life. It translates three ways in English language, because English language lacks in a translation of our way of life. And we speak in the spiritual language. There's four different languages spoken inside of a tribe. there's a spiritual language, the women's language, the men's language, and the tribal language. And we have a spiritual language that we use in Sisiwis. And sometimes we don't speak any other languages. We don't know the women or the men language. We only know, because we come from this family, the spiritual language and the tribal language, you know, all these things. It's very complicated. You know, actually, some people don't know this, that it's very, very so complicated. And there's so many things that you come from. You study what you come from. And you don't study anything outside of what you come from. So that's why it's led me into being with priests when I was very young, Catholic priests, being with lamas, different people, swamis, A.C. Bhaktivedanta, Swami Prabhupada in 1967. No matter how crazy I looked, you know, inside of this time of doing terrible things, you know, not respecting the law, I did have another respect, and it was of the teaching of spirit, of what everybody calls God or the Creator. And there's many ways how I've gotten able to understand how to call out God, the spirit, and allow people to understand what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about Catholic. I'm not talking about Buddhism. I'm not talking about Muslim. I'm not talking about this. I'm talking about the spirit, the energy. I'm talking about the life force. I'm talking about universe God, God the universe, not God the Father, God the universe, the whole universe. And this is what we talk about. And then it led me into understanding more of myself, understanding more of what I needed to bring out. And I've been bringing it out ever since. And there's a time now where I'll find some land here in the Northwest, and I'll build a temple, not very big, just a small one, hexadome shaped, and then have this temple for ceremonies. And it'll only be put out there by word of mouth to people who are really on their path and want to come and learn more about death, and also about where we come from, the stars, and how this all ties into what we're doing here, and the contract. I shouldn't talk about that, though. Not right now, because it'll make everybody get confused. So anyway, yeah, I'm just a little Native American Indian.
Uh-huh.
Don't know too much about these things. Hello, Kimosabi. One of those things.
Tonto says, owl hoots are people in ambush, says Michael McClure in Dolphin Skull.